Welcome to the Travel Tales Podcast. The winners are the people with the most stories.
One of the great things about traveling is the people that you meet.
I've slept in bus stations, I've slept on people's floors.
And it's already on fire, and then there's just a gigantic, huge explosion, like out of a Hollywood movie.
It's not right or wrong, it's just different.
We hired like 10 Chinese prostitutes to come be our audience.
We were kidnapped by nuns in Puerto Rico.
Not a good idea to be high when you're packing. You forget a lot of stuff.
I got swine flu.
By the time you've lived through it, it's just a good story.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Travel Tales Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Siegel. My guest today is Piper Moretti. And before we get to Piper, I have a few announcements. First, our website is traveltalespodcast.com. Go there, and there you'll find photos of our guests, some stories that some of the guests have written, some stories that I've written. You can find links to their social media. You can find links to our social media. And that is, of course, Travel Tales Podcast on Instagram, which is where I post most of my stuff. We're on X, although I don't really update it and haven't used the site in a while, but we're there at Travel Tales Pod. We have a Facebook page, and follow us there. Follow us all of those places. And if you can think about it, if you listen to us on all the streaming devices, and we're on all of them, give us a good rating. You know, that costs you nothing, and it helps more people find the show by boosting our presence there, and that's a cool thing for you to do. So if you can do that, I'd appreciate that. If you want to write me, maybe you'd be right for the show, or maybe you know somebody who's right for the show, or maybe you just have travel questions or want to tell me how great I am, you can write me at traveltalespodcast@gmail.com. That's traveltalespodcast@gmail.com. Okay, Piper Moretti might sound familiar to you if you're a regular listener of the show, because A, she was on about 4 years ago, where we first really kind of met interviewing, doing a Zoom interview during COVID. And you also might know her as my girlfriend. Yes, Piper is my girlfriend now of about 3.5 years. And we've traveled a bunch together in that time. We talk about it a little on this, but we've went to places like, oh man, in this time, you know, she went with me to Australia over the holidays. We were last year in Rome and all throughout Italy and Portugal. And we've been to Hawaii. We've been to St. Croix. A lot of places. So we just returned last week from Japan, and I was going to do this episode as a recap, just me talking, and I recorded that. I talked for about 45 minutes about all the things we did there, and by the end of it, not only was I tired of my own voice, I'm sure anybody listening would have been tired of it. So I was literally boring myself going through all these places, and I said, you know what, this would be much more fun with Piper here, and also because, not only because she's good to talk to, but it was her first time in Asia. So I wanted to get her opinions and impressions on a place that she's seeing for the first time. So even though we were in Tokyo and Kyoto, two places I had went when I was there the first time I went in 2009 by myself, I wanted to get her impressions of it. And ask her, like, was it different than what she thought it would be? What was Japan like to someone who's never been and never been to any of Asia before? So I wanted to get her impression of it. And to really ask her how difficult it is to travel with me. So she came down to the garage studio. Yeah, it was kind of cool to get her perspective on Japan and Asia for a first timer. And so I thought I'd share it with you. So let's get right to it. Please enjoy my chat with the lovely and charming Piper Moretti. First of all, I should say this is your return to the show after 4 years. I think it's been 4 years.
It's been about 4 years. Yeah.
2020.
And that was the first time you and I actually met.
Yeah. That was one of my first Zoom recordings. It was just horrible. And I think it was before my I changed my modem at my apartment.
Because you kept freezing.
Oh, you kept freezing and it was a nightmare. And I thought, this isn't if this is Zoom, I'm out. Yeah. There's no way I can keep doing this. And then I realized, well, maybe my modem's a little old. And yeah. I went in there. And as soon as I brought it in, the guy at Spectrum was just like, oh, you still have one of these? I go, yeah, am I the only... And he just turns around and hands me a new one.
They didn't even ask questions. From 1984?
Yeah. They were like, okay, I guess. And then, sure enough, it was better. So,
yeah.
Live and learn. So, in the past 4 years, or three and a half or so, tell me the places that you've been lucky enough to visit, thanks to me. Where was it?
Oh, my God. Okay, let's start from the beginning. Well, we had a nice little trip to Big Bear. Does that count? That was our first trip together.
Weekend trip.
Oh, but that was a fun little trip because we got to see snow. But anyway, that's the only time we get to see it. Okay, so where did we go? We went to Hawaii.
Hawaii, sure.
We went to Australia.
Australia. That was over this past Christmas.
Yeah, recently. Oh my God, you're going to have to, we've been to
St. Croix.
We went to St. Croix. We've been to Puerto Rico.
Sebring, Florida.
I was just going to say yeah. Sebring,
Florida. It's right up there with Australia in terms of exotic. Yeah.
I dragged you to Tulsa a couple of times.
Your hometown of Tulsa. Yep. And now recently.
Recently, Japan.
Yeah. So I, truth be told, I recorded this a solo episode yesterday, and I was listening to it, and it was actually 2 days ago I recorded it, and it was I was bored of my own voice after about a half hour, so I can only imagine what the listeners. I was just going from place to place and just. Because we did a lot in 10 days.
We did so much in 10 days.
Yeah. And so, first of all, you had never been.
Nope.
Okay.
Never been.
I knew you had never been. I had been once before.
Not even close.
And I had been to Tokyo and Kyoto and saw the swallows play the carp in Tokyo. And this time, we did exactly those things, except we went to Hakone as well.
Yes, which was amazing.
And I saw Hello Kitty Land, Sanrio Puro Land.
You are such, let it be known on the record that you were such a good boyfriend for enduring that for half a day.
Okay, I've won points. So, I don't know where to start. First of all, what were your impressions of Japan before you went, and then after, how were they different?
You know,
did it live up to your expectations, or was it different in a way?
I really didn't have a lot of expectations. I mean, like the slate was pretty clean. I've only heard amazing things about, you know, Tokyo and obviously Kyoto. Kyoto was one of those bucket list cities that, you know, it's like, oh, that would be nice to go to someday. You know, it wasn't like one of the top ones, but I've wanted to go there for so long. And I had absolutely, other than the Kyoto Treaty, knew
right
nothing about it.
Right.
So you
knew nothing about it, but then you had like, you wanted to go. So
but
what
I wanted
was
to
it?
Go.
What,
it, was because it the internet? I wanted to, yeah, it was probably a lot of the internet, but listen, I mean, like, I don't know how much I'm going to veer off here, but look, I mean, the inconvenient truth or an inconvenient truth was such a huge, had such a huge impact on me back in the, you know, 2000s or whatever. And that movie changed my life, and the Kyoto Treaty was just emblazoned in my brain after that movie. And I thought, okay, well, what is so special about Kyoto to make it a global environmental treaty? You know, so that, I mean, I know it feels like a stretch, but in my mind, it's kind of not. I'm like, what is so amazing about the city that it was like a whole treaty was named after, you know, so that put it on the map for me. And I'm like, I want to see what this is all about.
So we did 10 days all together from the time we left and came back. So we lose a day going there. We get it all back, coming back. You were dreading the flight, even though Australia was longer. So this wasn't as bad.
It wasn't bad. No, it was actually...
It's just boring. That's
all. It's just boring. And, you know, like I had my iPad loaded up with all kinds of stuff. So, no, it was fine. And it's literally just the 13 hours or whatever it is getting there. Coming back was a piece of cake.
It was 10. It's, I think it's
like
a little...
nothing.
Yeah, about 12 and a half getting there and then 10 coming back.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it wasn't too bad. And we did Singapore Air, I thought was going to be very different, and it wasn't that much different.
No.
Although the food was better. They have a great service record, but I do know that the first class and business class are supposed to be very nice. But we were back in coach,
which didn't seem
any different than anywhere else.
But you know what? I did note, you remember I made a comment about the seats. The seats were cloth seats that had been around for quite a while. They were probably, I'm guessing, 80s or 90s colors. You know, they were, but you don't see those kinds of seats anymore. But this is a good thing. They were actually more comfortable than the crappy coach seats that we get nowadays. And they were a little wider.
Covered
seats.
Which I guess are probably easier to clean, which is one of the reasons they have them.
Absolutely.
And tougher.
Tougher, cheaper, whatever.
Tougher on your ass.
But they were way more comfortable, especially for sitting for 10 hours.
And the flight attendants have great outfits.
They really do.
Yeah.
I mean,
they do have the best outfits.
I was impressed.
So we get there. We flew into Haneda, and we're staying in Shinjuku, which is, I guess they say the busiest train station.
Oh, man.
In the world or something, which I believe after being there, because it is massive. And they said, I had read something, they had like 200 and something exits.
Yeah, I believe.
And you could get in from like, it seemed like half the city, there was an exit into Shinjuku Station. And there's a whole mall down there, there's a whole city's restaurants. It was pretty amazing, but confusing.
It was so confusing.
When you can't see what direction you're going. But then we learned this about the train stations and the train system there. The stations, they number the exits. So like on Google map or directions or whatever, they'll say go to exit 7, which helps a lot. And then there's once you figure it out, it's daunting at first. But once you figure it out, it at least makes sense.
Right.
The trains, you see the map at first, you're like, oh, no. Oh, no.
Right. Well, even the poor girl that was helping us that very first day, she was lost. And she takes those trains all the time, you know.
Right. When we were going to Sanrio Pure Land.
That's right.
Okay. Now let's get into this because you are a fan and a collector of Hello Kitty merchandise.
Yes, but not psycho.
Not psycho, but I'm looking at right now a golf bag, a Hello Kitty golf bag.
I do have a Hello Kitty golf bag. It's never
and
been
clubs.
Used.
Yep. And you have a guitar.
I do.
You have little, I guess dolls maybe and little.
I actually got rid of a lot.
Fridge magnets and things.
I do, yeah.
So
they're hiding in plain sight.
Explain, as someone who's not a fandom person and collector of things, what is it about? Explain the Hello Kitty thing to me. They've been around for like 50 years.
50 years, yeah. This year's our 50th.
And huge around the globe, and I had no idea. But very big in Japan.
Huge in Japan.
And Sanrio was the company. So they're like the Disney of all these little characters.
Yeah.
But they're just characters. They're just little.
Yeah.
Hello Kitty's a kitty.
They're just cute. Some people just can't explain what the fascination is about. You know, some people collect Mickey Mouse stuff. Some pick, there were Tweety Birds huge and Betty Boop. And I don't understand. They're drawn to those, but like as a kid, I just remember, I think I told you at one point, like, I would go, get dragged, shopping with my mom. And, this is in Tulsa and we had a department store called Dillard's. And I was probably like 6 or 7 years old, and she's trying on clothes and I'm like wandering the store. And it was almost like the Red Sea parted and like there was this like, like Holy Grail at the end, like it was just glowing. And it was like this Hello Kitty kiosk. And I just thought, I know. It's just weirdest thing. But there were like, there was stationery and, being like this little creative kid, like there were like pencils and pads and like little plushies and all this. And they were so cute. And I'm like, oh my God. And it was like nothing I'd ever seen before, And I was kind of obsessed, So when growing up, when my mom wanted me to do anything, she would bribe me with Hello Kitty stuff and it would work like every time.
Wow.
So, and I would like draw Hello Kitty like in art school or, art class, not school. God, they would kick me out. But and I was just known then as just a little girl that was just obsessed with Hello Kitty, and that, went away as I, kind of got older and everything. But now she's kind of made this,
I don't know, resurgence. And,
well, yeah, I mean, it makes sense as someone, if you were into it as a kid, and then it brings back your childhood, and there's a lot of deep memories with that. But as someone who grew up, you know, I'm younger than you are.
Yeah. Yes, you are.
But, you know, okay, you're younger than me, but yes, still, as someone who grew up in the 70s and 80s, I don't remember it. And I had a sister, so I don't remember seeing it in stores. Maybe I just missed it
maybe
or
it
something.
Or
maybe it didn't
Illinois.
Make it to Chicago or something. But come on, if you had it in Tulsa, we had it in Chicago. Sure, let's be honest. But I just something I don't, it wasn't on my radar. Disney stuff, sure.
Of course.
But I certainly saw more Scooby-Doo stuff than Hello Kitty.
Yeah. And I think that's kind of why I liked it a little bit more, because it was almost like this.
Wasn't that common?
Thing. It wasn't that common. It was like this little special thing, and that's what made it.
I saw a lot of Charlie's Angels lunchboxes. I didn't see any Hello Kitty stuff.
Yeah, you know what? I didn't have they didn't have a lot of stuff back then like they do now. Yeah. It seems like Sanrio's licensed everywhere, it seems like now, but you know, we would get, I mean, it was mainly just like stationery, you know, and like little puppets and stuff like back then. And it's like become this amazing like empire, and a lot of stuff I'm sure they made in Japan, and it never made it over here.
Oh yeah,
now. Yeah.
So we finally get on the train, the right train. Yeah. After this very nice girl helps us out.
So nice.
And thank God for Google Translate. Can we just say that right now?
That
let's give a shout out to Google Translate. Download it for your phones, because some, even though a lot of the Japanese know English, they, you know, a lot of them, they have to learn it in school, but a lot of them forget it after the test, like as we do in a lot of things, if they don't use it a lot, or they're embarrassed about using it, and they're always apologizing that their English is bad, and it's like, no, it's fine.
Yeah.
So, but some people just don't speak it. So that helped a lot, just to be clear.
Yeah.
And we were talking into our phone and showing it to her, and she was talking in a very loud station, and it worked. So that's rule number one before you go. Also, we got to give a shout out to Suica.
Oh my God.
The card. It's a it's a travel card. It's like a Metro card that you get in any other city. But apparently there's a chip shortage, and you can't just get the physical card anymore. We downloaded it on our phones.
On our phones. Mm-hmm.
And then put it in Apple Pay, in the Apple Wallet. And we used Apple Wallet with it. And then we transferred it to our watches.
It was great.
And so now you don't buy tickets. You just load it up with some with money, and you just boop, you hit the little boop on your way onto the train and the way off.
And in 7-Eleven.
And you can buy stuff in 7-Eleven with them, and vending machines.
It's amazing.
And it's the world of vending machines there. So, I mean, it's really handy.
Yeah.
So I don't know if your credit card gave you a hassle when you tried to do it.
It did at first. There is a small waiting period because somebody somewhere is checking you out to make sure that you're not whatever. But yeah, it didn't set up like right away. I had to wait a little bit and then it worked.
Yeah.
But yeah, I didn't have as many problems as you have.
Both times I tried to do it, my credit cards with Chase and Citibank, they put a stop on it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had to call them and their fraud protection or something. A hassle, but you know, not a major one, but it was a little hassle when I tried to top it up over there. I still haven't seen my phone bill or what that phone call cost me. from Tokyo. Anyway, get the Suica. It's great. Mm-hmm. So then we get out to Puro Land. Sanrio is the company.
There you go.
And it's indoors, so don't worry about that, about weather if you're going. but it is about a 45-minute train ride from Shinjuku Station. And easy once you get off. There's a whole Hello Kitty-themed...
You know you're there.
Station. Yep. The whole station's got little characters all over it. And it's a little short walk to Sanrio, which basically, I guess it's the size of a big mall.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But it's got theaters in it. It's got the live shows.
Oh, my God.
We saw Kabuki Hello Kitty.
We saw my only Hello Kitty, or my only Kabuki that I've ever seen
is
Hello Kitty.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I don't know how they're going to top that. But
so, how long would you say we were there?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe 3 hours tops?
Did it live up to, was it what you expected, or did you think we were expecting something different?
It kind of did. It matched my expectations because I knew a little bit about it. I actually had a friend many, many years ago perform there
And I have the book, you know. I've seen pictures. It was just being there was like a little surreal, you know. And watching videos, like travel videos and stuff. I'm like, yeah, okay, this is. And look, I mean, even at the end of 2.5-3 hours. There were still a couple of things that I kind of wish we could have done, you know, like do the meet and greet with Hello Kitty.
Oh boy.
But I'm like, I'm done. We can go now, you know.
Yeah, I mean, we were there.
I didn't want to stand in line anymore.
No, and plus we're one of the only childless adults there. I know as a man, especially, I was one of the only guys there. So then you start looking like a creep if you don't have your own kid. Yeah. Or at least you're not an uncle or somebody bringing some child there.
We were the only middle-aged Caucasian. Maybe there were maybe 5 Caucasians in the whole place. And then like we were definitely the oldest.
What did we... we lasted about, what, 3 hours in there?
I think so, yeah.
And then we got some lunch and I need some adult entertainment. So I had to get a giant beer.
A beer. But you did have a Hello Kitty burger, though.
I did have a Hello Kitty burger. Oh, boy. Yeah. Okay. So then we did that the first day.
Yep.
And then we were still kind of jet lagging and stuff. So we went around. You went to bed early. I kind of walked around the city.
Mm-hmm.
We ended up the next night going to the Golden Guy District.
That was great.
GAI, mm-hmm. which is a notorious place. It was formerly, back in the day, like the red light district and stuff. But little tiny bars and little tiny streets. It's pretty famous. And we went and got a drink in one place there.
Upstairs.
Yeah.
6 people, maybe.
Yeah. That's all it holds.
Yeah.
And, we just kind of walked around. I'm trying to think of the other days. You know, we didn't pack in too much. We did a walking tour of the old, in Asakusa
mm-hmm.
neighborhood, that big giant shrine there. The name escapes me.
Mm-hmm.
And I will have shrine forgetfulness on this.
Oh, we saw so many.
And they're all Japanese names, and they're really hard to remember.
Yeah.
So... the big old shrine that everybody goes to in Asakusa.
I'm sure they appreciate
that. We took a walking tour there.
Yeah.
I found a free walking tour online, which was great. And some Argentinian kid who works for tips. He's a student there. And that was the only tips we had to do the entire trip. And how great was it not tipping?
Oh, I really love countries where you don't have to tip.
Australia, we didn't have to either.
Yep, yeah. Same thing. It's like they pay their... employees, you know, livable wages, and we don't have to worry about even the other tour guide that, you know, in Kyoto. I kind of looked at you. I'm like, do we tip? Yeah. Like, no.
And there they would be insulted.
Yeah.
If you
didn't want to do that.
Yeah.
Gosh.
But so the walking tour was great, and just long enough, we had noodles, and we should get into the fact that you don't eat meat or fish. So to go to Japan with someone who doesn't eat fish is a tough thing because. It's doable, but you have to be careful because not only, even if it's not physical fish, they could cook it in the broth.
Mm-hmm.
Bonito flakes seem to be in everything.
Mm-hmm.
It's that, what's that green zone kind of broth that they use? It's called, but that's bonito flakes and things. And so it's basically fish based.
Yeah.
And so if you're not trying to have that, tough. But we used your Happy Cow app.
Yeah,
bit.
Yeah, that's a savior.
Which were crowded every place.
Oh.
So everybody else is using the same app.
100%.
Every vegan that visits.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to, look, if you're a vegan, you know, like, and I'm probably, you know, I'm eating a little bit of dairy now, but I would say I'm like 85% vegan.
Yeah.
And if you're a vegan, I would definitely plan a lot more in advance, like where you're going to go, like where you're staying and wherever, and just jot that down. I was really bad at planning, but I did have the app. But yeah, you're right. A lot of places were swamped. You know, I ate egg sandwiches from 7-Eleven 8 out of the 10 days that we were there.
But they were good sandwiches.
They were good.
They cut the crust off.
It's on white bread, but man, they were good.
And 7-Elevens, you know, I got fish from there, the little amasubi sandwiches, mm-hmm. and I actually got some sashimi, I think, from there.
Yeah, and your crazy chips.
Yeah, and whatever flavor chips, paid for my Suica, and I'm done. So don't discount the 7-Elevens when you're
amazing.
There, because they're, and that's where the ATMs are.
Yeah.
Although we found out that you just have a fraud on your ATM.
I don't know if it's from that trip or the last time I've only used it once since we've been back, so who knows.
All right, well, I haven't had a problem, knock on wood. And so yes, eating, we did what we could, you know.
Yeah.
I got my conveyor belt sushi.
Right.
Wrongly assuming they'd have a vegetarian roll, which they did not.
No, I had French fries.
You did.
First time at a sushi place.
French fries is something you can get anywhere in the world in a pinch. For all you vegans out there.
Yeah, the vegetarians are very happy.
And they know that.
Yeah.
Believe me. So food-wise, how did you like it? And what, I mean, you couldn't really indulge in their local
stuff. In the way that, you know, an omnivore like you would really enjoy. But I still had moments. I had really good food. You know, the vegan ramen place that we went to.
Yeah.
That was, you know, right across the street from our hotel. That was I really enjoyed that. I had some amazing noodles just about everywhere we went.
A lot of noodles.
I had matcha noodles, which yeah. were interesting. You know, soba and tempura, you know, were great. And yeah, I mean, I can't remember anything, and maybe correct me if that I'm complaining about anything that I had there.
No.
You know.
But this wasn't really a food-centric tour.
No.
I mean, a lot of the stuff that comes across my feed now it's all like Japanese.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm just inundated everything, and I'm still getting them. I just wanted to like tell the algorithm, I'm done. But it's half of them are food. You know, get the craziest thing you could eat and some egg dish in Osaka or whatever it is. And then just, you know, and they love their desserts there.
Oh, that put me under.
The mochi. You had the
mochi. I think I OD'd on mochi.
Yeah, he had a lot of that.
Yeah,
that was a lot.
That was so good.
What about the lifestyle of the Japanese when you were there? Can we start with the toilets? Let's just get that out of the way.
the
greatest things ever.
I'm going to buy one. I am.
That's a dream.
It is. And even the public toilets, they're a lot of them were warm. You know, they've got the warmer and
the
then
seat warmers and the spray and the bidets and the front and back spray.
Yes.
And then the front spray has a little, you know, the stick person has longer hair. So it's like for the ladies.
Yes, so it's for us, you know.
Ladies spray up front. Or as I call it, the taint wash.
Oh, my God. Which is amazingly accurate.
Yes. Nice way to start the morning.
Very impressed about that. So.
If you don't know what's coming, it's you can get airborne.
Hey, but it's but it's warm,
though. It is nice.
It's not like a cold.
And you can adjust the temperature and the pressure.
Yes.
We are behind.
We are.
In
primitive.
Many ways.
So primitive.
Toilets, the bullet train we took
to
Kyoto.
Look, and I paid... a few extra dollars for first class. I highly recommend.
Yeah.
Especially for a couple of hours, you know, being on the train. It's so quiet and it's so comfy. And, you know, and that was from another video that I saw online. The edge of splurge for the first class. Okay.
And the Tokyo to Kyoto first class was about 125 a person, something like that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
If you're in coach, I believe it's around $82-$83.
Yeah.
And even if the coach is not bad.
It's still not bad.
I mean, the big thing is if you're worried about it being full, and there's a lot of trains, you think there's only one a day. No, there's like, you know, five an hour wherever you're going or even more. And, but there's different ones. Mm. So if you get the JR Rail Pass, just know that some of them don't cover some of the bullet trains. Like JR Rail only has their own certain trains and they're different companies. But I mean, we went, I can't remember, Kyoto to Tokyo was, I think they said it was about 250 miles, 275
like
miles
that.
Or something like that. It's like from LA to Vegas.
Yeah.
Took us 2 hours.
Yeah.
And it's just quiet and awesome. And every train is quiet. Because nobody talks.
No one talks.
It's the greatest thing.
There's no street performers.
Nobody
There's
begging.
No crazy people.
No, yeah. No insane ranting people.
Yeah.
No homeless people
There's
sleeping
no trash.
On the train.
Just like that's a whole other topic.
That's probably the biggest thing, right?
Oh my
like
God.
When you that's a shocker. And it shouldn't be a shocker to Americans, but it is.
Yeah.
Then you realize it's like, well, what keeps us from living this way? And it's usually how we're raised.
Well, no, I think you nailed it.
It's culture.
It's culture where I looked it up. There's 13 million people living in Tokyo. There's 37.
Yeah, the whole metro area.
The whole metro area.
It's insane.
But they're raised to take care of the whole instead of the one, you know? And I'm like, oh God, you nailed it. And so... it's just a no-brainer to them. They respect others. You know, you're on the train, it's disrespectful to talk. You shut up. Yeah.
Nobody wants to hear your phone conversation. No, no one wants to hear your music. No one wants to hear you talking to the next guy.
Nobody wants to hear you on TikTok. Which was a complete opposite of, you know, what we experienced in Italy, that, you know, one day where I was just, you know, where we were smashed in between high school kids and I was, you know, having to meditate just to not freak out. But yeah.
Or me on the train in Chicago when, you know, some guys light up a cigar in the train.
Unbelievable.
While I'm from O'Hare to downtown. And I'm just like, really? Really? To go from that in a week to Japan was just, it was jolting. You know, it's like, oh, even the bus from the airport, nobody spoke. Nobody, it's just like a library. It's so nice.
Yeah.
And it was just like, you know, as LA tries to expand its train system, if it was like that, more people would take it. Everybody, it would be great. But to take it now, it's it can be frightening. So people are afraid to take it. You know, it's like no matter how great it is, nobody's going to take it if they're scared to go on it.
Yeah.
Or if it's a dump, you know, it's just, we got problems. Yeah, but not that Japan doesn't have its own problems.
Well,
but
they have different problems.
But yeah. But it's nice and it's civilized.
Yeah.
And so after about 4 days in Tokyo, where we went to the giant Tokyo Tower Records. That was cool.
That was mind-blowing. Yeah. I don't think I've ever been in a record store like in my life.
Yeah. Eight stories. And they're still selling cassettes.
Yeah.
And DVDs and CDs.
And vinyl.
And like, what year is this?
Yeah.
This is cool.
And it was all, well, not all.
A lot of K-pop.
A lot of it was K-pop.
A lot of J-pop and K-pop.
Yeah.
Boy, which I still can't tell the difference.
I don't know.
Not to sound racist, but it's not my music.
No, I don't
If I heard the music, it's all boy bands to me. Yeah. It's like all Asian New Kids.
Yeah, exactly.
Says the old man. Remember New Kids on the Block? It was 1989.
Yeah.
Yeah, but really cool. And the neighborhoods, and we do a lot of walking.
Yeah.
We took a lot of trains. It was city life, but then Kyoto was a different vibe, right? We get there. It's a smaller city, maybe like a million to, and
a half,
I think.
Yeah, a little over a million.
But you could tell the pace is slower
once you get there. Yeah, it's more quaint.
Yeah, and we had our best hotel, which
that
I found
was a great
on
hotel.
Randomly on hotels.com.
Yeah.
And I trusted the reviews, and it was new, so it didn't have a ton. So I was like, okay, whenever it's a new place and doesn't, it had enough, but... You know, and I'm sad that I don't have the name of it pulled up here, but write me if you want to know the, you know, anybody, write me at traveltalespodcast@gmail.com and I'll give you all the places we stayed because I got a record of it somewhere. I'm too lazy to look it up right now. But Kyoto, we took a bike tour.
Yes.
Which was lovely.
It was so, I'm so glad we did that because, you know, our tour guides were great and, you know, more college kids.
More students, young kids.
I know, but I felt really, like I really got to know the city with that bike tour. And I'm glad that we did the bike tour. We did the bike tour because we couldn't get into the walking tour. That was full. But I thought, okay, great, bike it is. And I feel like we covered a lot more ground and saw probably a lot more in a shorter amount of time than we could have on foot.
Well, the walking tour was going to be at the Bamboo Forest, which we went to first.
Yeah, which we did that anyway.
But they, supposedly, this is a company called Magical Trip, and they had like a three-hour walk around the forest there, which is a nature walk, but they come into the Bamboo Forest from a back way or something. So to all ostensibly to avoid the crowds, like we'll teach you how to avoid the crowds, because we went to the Bamboo Forest first thing.
And there was Instagrammers.
We can't... you can't avoid the crowds at the Bamboo Forest. Even though it's cool, it's tough.
Yeah.
It's tough to avoid the crowds there. Same thing with the Inari Shrine where we went. And I guess it's another place where Instagrammers have kind of ruined. But you can walk. The key is always to walk farthest away from the entrance where most people don't go.
Yeah.
A lot of people walk
a little
bit. They don't
want to go up.
Yeah, they don't want to go up. They don't want to walk too long. They don't want to be too far away from the souvenirs in the bathroom.
Yep.
So keep walking.
Yeah.
Is the best, but we still, or you have to like crop.
We got, you know, amazingly enough, we got a few pictures without anybody in there. Like I managed to kind of like either cover somebody.
You were good.
Up
yeah,
with
that
you,
was good.
Or we like got a space in the crowd, or I don't know what happened, but we got a couple of good ones.
Yeah.
But man, yeah, that was probably one of the most crowded places we went to.
At the market. The Nishiki market.
Yeah, I was getting a little claustrophobic on the people.
Yeah,
the
place, you don't do great in big crowds.
I really don't. Not for very long. No.
And also, it's if you want to eat in the market, it's 95% meat things anyway. Yeah. So it's either fish or meat on a stick. Yeah.
But I got my omelet tempura.
You got an omelet on a stick. A fried tempura omelet on a stick.
Yeah.
So that worked out nice. But we saw it and then we found a vegan place nearby.
That was a highlight. That was a really great place because we got this huge platter with just like the samplings, you know, and a little bit of
Middle East, Mediterranean stuff.
Yeah, it was really good.
Yeah, it was good. And then we had a choice. Okay, we're going to get back. We had a few days left. I said, well, let's get out into the country. And I didn't want to go too far from Tokyo. Mm-hmm. So then we ended up in a town called Hakone, which is known for their hot springs and stuff. So it's about, a lot of people do it as a day trip from Tokyo, which is probably 40 minutes on the train. And then, but we went and stayed overnight. We splurged.
We
in a
did,
nice,
yeah.
Hotel with its own hot spring.
Mm-hmm.
And we went in the public bath there. It was basically a pool and hot tubs and stuff. And then we had one in our room.
Yeah.
And it rained.
So we could watch. It was so cool.
Yeah. We could watch the, except the next day when we try to go see the, it's sulfur vents coming out. It just comes out of the ground. And you can take what they call the ropeway over it, which is basically a cable car, like a gondola. And it was fogged in. We were basically in a cloud.
That was a little creepy.
Could see nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah.
So that was, of course, the one day we go to the country, the rain comes. Oh, well.
That's okay. But the top, you know, you get to the top, there's a total tourist trap. You know, there's a diner, you know, but there's a gift shop.
Oh, the black eggs.
And the black eggs you get to buy, you know, and it said that if you eat one, then it extends your life for a year. And
right.
That was fun.
For people who don't know, this is a regular egg.
Just a regular
egg. And because of the sulfur in the water, it boils and turns it black.
Yeah.
And we ate one. Tastes the same exactly as a hard-boiled egg, but hopefully we'll... And how do you know if it's 10 years? Honestly. There's no way you'd know.
No. No. I don't know. Yeah.
Right. Because if you die early, or if you die at 45, they'll go, it would have been 35.
It would have been 35.
Yeah. See, they can't prove this. That's a nice scam they got going.
I know.
But it was a nice little getaway, though, wasn't it?
And again, there was a Hello Kitty up at the top wearing a black egg. And I got Hello Kitty stuff and black eggs. So...
Did you tally up your amount of merch? You bought a lot of gifts and stuff for people.
I did.
I didn't do any of that.
I did. And I actually, this is embarrassing, but I actually ended up buying so much Hello Kitty stuff for myself just because I kind of like went overboard on that. But I will say I did come in because of the exchange rate, I think I came in way under budget. I allowed myself, you know, a couple thousand just to like do whatever, way under that.
Yeah.
Way under that. I couldn't believe it.
I was trying to tell you this before we left. You were worried about money, and I said, you went to New York on a business trip for 4 days in Manhattan.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I will guarantee you, you spent more in that 4 days than you will in 10 days in Japan.
Yeah.
And you did, right?
100%.
Just eating out, the hotels. Everything. And so... Yeah, I mean, when people, you know, I talk about this on the show a bunch, and people who listen a lot have heard me say this all the time, because, you know, I will spend like 2 weeks in Thailand or something. People go, oh, you can afford to do that. I mean, these are the same people who spend $2,000 in a weekend in Vegas between gambling and their hotel and everything else. I go, for $2,000, I could spend a month in Asia.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's not about that. And so people equate foreign travel with the cost of U.S. travel, which is not the same.
Which is so not the same.
So,
In Australia, you know,
we had a good exchange rate there too.
Yeah.
So while the dollar is strong, people know that it's good. We got good rates in both those places.
Mm-hmm.
In Europe, I don't think the euro we're doing okay.
Yeah,
it's pretty much almost even.
Yeah.
I think Canada's a good deal right now too. I don't know how long this is going to last. So out there, just so you know. But the one thing about, it was also had to do with the time of year we went. Australia is experiencing a lot of over-tourism right now. It was packed. There's a lot of tourists there. There was a lot.
There was a lot in Japan when we were there, though, too.
That's what I mean. In Japan.
Okay.
Japan. Did I say Australia?
You said Australia.
No, Japan is really dealing with this. And so, and with that, you know, they're seeing this behavior that they don't, you know, Mount Fuji, people are hiking on it and leaving trash everywhere.
That is not a good look for us.
Standing in the middle of the streets and taking photos and blocking things and, you know, despite the signs. And so they're dealing with it. And look, they shut down hard over COVID. And I think a lot of them are like me, had this planned 4 years ago and been sitting on it for 4 years. And then it opens up and like, we're all going to Japan finally.
Yeah.
And so it is, it's crowded now.
Yeah.
So if you're worried about booking, we didn't have a problem with booking hotels, but the choices were the biggest expense we had were Tokyo hotel rooms.
Yeah.
And those are going to be small. Speaking of New York.
Small. Yeah. Yeah.
They're expect New York small. Far less room.
Yeah.
That's why the room in Kyoto was so nice. It was so big.
Oh, it was big. It was luxurious. It was just, and it was just awesome with the tub outside, and we could.
Also, don't expect a bed together, like a queen or a king.
One of my friends commented on that.
Yeah.
Oh, you got Lucy and Ricky beds.
Yes. Yeah, you got the Dick Van Dyke show. Yeah. It's, the two twin beds. I'm like, all right. You think, you know.
Yeah.
Not a queen, really? Those get snapped up really quick, and I couldn't get them. Or you'd pay way a lot more for...
Yeah, and there's... I mean, come on. You can last, you know, a few nights, you know, in your own bed.
Yeah, and how much did you enjoy me not kicking you?
Probably more than what you think.
Right? I mean, I wasn't stealing covers.
You weren't flip-flopping around.
Right, exactly. So it's not so bad. You can see what the Dick Van Dyke show was on about. But yeah, that'll probably be your biggest expense for people is your Tokyo hotel. But then we go back to Tokyo. We have two nights, which were wild. We ended up...
They were fun.
So I took you to the Roppongi the first night, which is, you know, kind of the westernized area. That's like, you know, the white people hang out. Pretty touristy, but known for bars and restaurants and things. Mm-hmm. And we ended up in this bar.
So random.
We walked by, and what did the sign say?
It said something about
a shooting gallery.
Yeah, it was like it wasn't a
shooting
gallery,
range, but
like
air shooting range, air rifles.
Yeah, air rifles
and rock and roll.
And I'm like, this is what I love about travel is just the random things that you run into like this. And I'm like, and we're both looking at the sign, and you're like, oh, it could be a contest. And I just looked at you, and I'm like, I will smoke you.
Yeah, all of a sudden the Oklahoma comes out. It's like, oh, is there a gun shooting contest? Sure, you're on.
You're on. Let's
go. And then we go downstairs in this tiny basement place below ground, which is a basement. That's pretty repetitive, Mike. And one little bar and one old guy in it. Mm-hmm. No other customers.
Nope.
And we're in there by ourselves. And we ask about, hey, what about the shoot? And there's a long plexiglass enclosed booth. I guess it's about 15 yards long. But that's it. A little long, skinny booth.
Don't
over
forget
there.
The wall-to-wall guns.
Yeah,
on
so
the
a
wall.
Gun of wall, a wall of guns.
Yeah,
but not just little pistols. I mean, shotguns, Uzis, machine guns, like an AR-15 type, and you know they look absolutely real. They're all air rifles, but they look scary.
Yeah,
you think you're. That's why I said I think we're in the basement of the Pulp Fiction, and the Gimp is going to come out at any minute. And we ask about, hey, what about can we shoot the guns? And he wouldn't even talk until we ordered a drink.
Right.
Wouldn't even bring up the guns.
Go wrong here.
You need a drink. Okay. So we got a sake.
Yep.
Really good sake.
It was really good sake.
We got to find that sake.
Yeah. I took a picture of it.
Yeah. And I got a beer. And then all of a sudden now he brings out the catalog of guns he can shoot. And it was page after page.
Yeah.
And he's telling us, you can get, and you I guess they charge by the round. Like a machine gun is going to be more. The size of the gun mattered and the amount of rounds you got.
Right.
So we just pick some random pistol and go in there. And you beat me in the better shot.
I beat you.
I blame my bad eye.
Yeah. To be fair, you have a bad eye. But I beat you.
You were good. You were better than I was.
Yes.
I kept, I was too low or something. It was too high. I couldn't, I don't know. I would make a bad cop or soldier, I think, for many reasons.
That's just
one of them. Yeah. Don't hire me as a hitman is what I'm saying. But yeah, and then he's showing all these rock videos, which is fun. And then we talked to him and it turns out he was like, you know, he followed his favorite bands in the 80s around the U.S. and Europe. And he's got a picture of him and Robert Plant from the 80s. And it was just like, just random.
And he had that
really
bar
cool.
for 24 years. 24
years he's been
like
open.
That.
Hollow Point.
Hollow Point.
Yeah, it's,
yes.
Find it. And I tried to tag it.
Yeah.
Couldn't tag it on Instagram.
Really?
I looked up Hollow Point.
Oh, you know what? I tried too. And yeah, it didn't come up.
It didn't come up, right? Yeah. For 24 years. Maybe we should tell him about social media.
Maybe
have more than us in there.
Yeah.
For but hey, he stayed open.
Yeah. 2013 induction, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction playing in the background. But yeah.
Yeah, and then we did the last night your other bucket list thing and thing I wanted to do. We went to a baseball game.
The baseball game.
Yeah.
That was such a great capper
back
to the whole trip.
Jin Guste, you're wearing your Tokyo Yakult Swallows shirt right now.
Yes, this is the one you got me.
It was fun.
Yeah.
Right, that was
fun.
It was
like beyond, yeah, and you know we.
Again, you had to eat fries again.
I had to eat fries again to you know just to live, but that's fine. I mean, but look, you had, you know, as you do, I guess, at a Japanese baseball game, you had your stir fry, you know, and your chopsticks.
Sure,
and then we had baseball edamame.
I had fried chicken and edamame and noodles.
Yeah, noodles.
And my $5 beers from the adorable girls and with the little mini kegs on their back.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was great.
And the cheerleaders and just like, it's just it's a little different. I was explaining it to someone the other day about just how, you know, how it's the same game, you know, but it's just the way they do it is just different, you know, and, you know, they've got the cheerleaders and they've got the chanting. I mean, we have chants too, but it's not like theirs are like songs.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
it's almost more of a soccer crowd almost. They have the choreographed, you know, the seventh inning stretch with the umbrellas and the song
like
the
umbrellas, which is really cute.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And I think the tickets,
cheap.
Again, we talk about prices. The tickets there, I mean, we had good seats and they were only like $30, I think, each.
$30, maybe $40
or
something. Yeah.
Which was nice. And so it was all good.
Yeah.
And that was basically, I know we did more, but that's kind of a nutshell for people. But I wanted to get your opinions for someone as a first impression. And, you know, you had never been, not just Japan, but Asia you hadn't been
right?
to.
Right, yeah, yeah. Well, and I know that Asia has many different levels and colors.
It's a big place.
There's a whole spectrum. But, yeah, as my first, I'm probably, unfortunately, going to be judging everything based on what I saw in Japan, which is not fair. But I've been talking to people, you know, in the last week since we've been back, you know, my friends have been asking me, well, how was your trip? What's Japan like? Because they've, you know, a lot of them haven't been. The first thing that I've noticed that comes out of my mouth is it's so clean and so quiet.
Yeah. You know?
And the trash can, they don't have trash cans and there's no trash anywhere. And people are like, what? Really?
Right.
They don't talk on the subway? Really? You know, and it's just, it's a whole different culture. And that's what I was most impressed with, you know, just the respect, you know, that we just don't really give one another here.
I can tell you that the rest of Asia is not like that.
There was a stark contrast you could tell between the, you know, Asian communities that were there. And, you know, I'm like, oh, yeah, okay, I get it, you know. But it was just enough. I'm so glad that I got to see Tokyo finally and everywhere else we went. But it makes me want to see other parts of the country. You know, I want to go to Osaka now.
I want to go ski.
You're right. I want to go to the place that has the most snowfall in the world. I forget the name of the
is
town.
Is it Niseko?
Something. Yes. Something I think it's something like that.
Yeah.
But I just, you know, since we don't get snow here in Southern California too much, it would be nice to kind of go and hang out there for a couple of days.
Well, that was part of my original plan when I 4 years ago to go. I wanted to go skiing and then try to get the cherry blossoms all in one.
Yeah, hey, we saw some.
We saw the tail end of the cherry blossoms. The peak season was gone by the time we were there, but still, we saw enough that was lovely.
Beautiful.
But yeah, I think when I originally I tried to get around peak season, but those flights,
I was using miles. Insane.
So, I mean, yeah. I couldn't get those flights and they make you pay. So we were not only there. Yes, there's a lot of tourists there now, but it was also peak tourist season because, and rightfully so, because the weather was great, like perfect temperature wise. Yeah. And as someone who's been there in the summer, I don't recommend it. And the locals will not recommend it. They'll tell you just like, hey, you don't want to come here in the summer because it's hot. Mm-hmm. Somehow, I mean, the weather's kind of like New York or something, but somehow during summer, it becomes kind of humid, tropical, uncomfortable. And it's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And so in a city where you do so much walking.
Yeah.
It's like you don't go to New York in August. Don't do that. And don't go to Tokyo in the summer.
Yeah.
Don't
do it. This was like, you know, Southern California. I just like we
it's like
do
60s
here.
During the day, yeah. 70s. And other than a little rain, which was spring. So it's going to happen. It was perfect.
Yeah.
So spring or fall, folks. That's it. Or if you want to see the Christmas stuff, I mean, I'm sure that's kind of cool looking.
Yeah.
They talked about it, right? When who said they, even though they're not Christian, the Argentinian kid.
Right.
They like Christmas.
They like the
in Japan, but even though they're not, you know, they don't celebrate
they
it
like
with the Jesus part. They like the decorations and the shopping, of course.
Yeah, of course.
They do love their shopping.
Oh my God, there's so much shopping.
A lot
there.
Of malls.
So many malls. And so many more Sanrio stores. Than what we have here.
Of course.
And they were huge. We have like these little closets, but whatever, it's fine.
Well, it's funny because now malls have been dying here for years.
Oh, they are.
And the vertical malls, especially in America, are just dying.
Yeah.
But they still like their malls.
They are. I couldn't believe how many malls that we saw that were just jam packed. I mean, we were there, the day that we were leaving, we had some time to kill. And we just kind of went walking around. We went and you know
in
we went
Ginza,
into,
yeah.
Yeah, we went into the mall, and it's like you know what is it 11 o'clock on a Wednesday, and it's just packed with people.
Yeah,
couldn't believe it.
And the greatest food courts you've seen anywhere. I mean, they did love a food court. Yeah. They do love a market.
Yeah,
and some of our higher end, some are you just kind of regular food, and they love their food courts.
Mm-hmm.
And so we ate a lot of those too. But anything else to jump out at you when people ask? I mean,
I always come back to the people. I really liked the people. You know, just and look, I mean, Tokyo. I went in like I said with like really no expectations. And just the diversity of like the little towns and you know little areas that we went were just so much fun, you know, because we would go to the Golden Guy. That's like this like tiny little micro, you know, area, you know, that I would have probably glossed over had I been there by myself, you know, and it's just so it's just packed with so much personality, you know, just that one little area, you know. And then you know then you, of course you got the malls, you got the big stuff to do, you know, you can see the Godzilla, you know, thing. And the it's like we kind of like in that area what was that area, it was kind of like the Times Square almost
the Shibuya Tokyo. The crossing, yeah,
that's
the famous crossing,
yeah, like, that was cool. You know, and it's just like you just see like so many people all the time getting somewhere. You know, and the only other like real reference I have, of course, is, you know, LA, but we don't walk, we drive, you know, but, you know, you go to New York and, you know, people are, you know, they're always in a hurry, you know, they're rude kind of because they're in a hurry. You know, these people are, they're just, you know, it's like, excuse me.
Oh, they're in a hurry.
They're in a hurry.
We almost got run over in the train station a number of times.
Well, this is true. Yeah.
It was deathly afraid of like, as someone as a New Yorker, you know, when I lived there. You know, I had always heard that thing. Oh, everybody's unfriendly and stuff like that. They're really not.
They're
once
not.
You,
they just have a place to be.
They have somewhere to be. Yeah. And there's a million tourists every day around them.
Oh, yeah.
So you're not a novelty, no matter where you're from. And people will always come up and go, hey, we're from Germany. Yeah, okay, what do you need? I'm the way. Where do you want to go?
Yeah.
I'll give you directions, but, well, we just got into, I don't care.
Yeah.
Just tell me where you want to go. So you just get to it. They don't care if... As long as you're not in the way.
Exactly.
So don't block up the sidewalk. Don't stop in the middle of the sidewalk. Don't stop in front of a turnstile. Don't slow up the line at the deli or whatever.
Yeah.
Just don't going. Be slower in the way. You right. know, move to the side
yeah.
and get out of the way.
And, you know,
and the same is true kind of in Tokyo, although they're usually too polite to say anything.
Right. They're nicer.
In New York, they'll say,
let's
go. Right. Move your ass.
But no, I mean, in Japan, they're probably thinking that, but they're smiling
at
you.
Oh, they're thinking.
You know, yeah.
For sure. was this the first time you had really been to a country where you were like a minority? I mean, noticeably, like,
yeah.
was yeah. it weird for you? Was it?
The only time I was self-aware of it, because again, you know, people are so nice, was the time that we got onto the train and that woman got up and moved.
Oh yeah, the old lady.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, okay.
So
yeah.
to paint the picture, so we're on our way back from Kyoto, and it's a Sunday morning. I mean, there was only a few people in the whole car, but our tickets just happened to be across. We weren't even next to her, like sitting next to her directly. We were across the aisle from her. It was a little old lady by herself, dressed lovely, as everybody is there. They do dress well. Everybody dresses
impeccable.
And I just do nothing. We were not even talking.
Nope.
I just put the bags up and you sit down and she slowly gets up with her cane. Grabs her suitcase and walks like three rows back. I was just like, did you see, did she leave? Because
I didn't even notice. You told me about it. And I'm like,
she just got up. I thought she was getting off.
Yeah.
No, she just went like a few rows back.
She didn't want to be next to us.
She didn't.
Yeah.
And I'm, you know, a lot of things go through my mind. It's like, maybe she just doesn't want to hear anybody. You know, if we're sitting there talking, she doesn't want to hear it.
True.
Which I understand. Or, you know, she may just not like Americans. And I'm like, well,
you know, she's old enough. Not to.
She's old enough that she was alive during the war. She's probably a little girl during the war.
Could have been.
And who knows? But, you know, they're probably not going to give a great impression of us. as I told somebody, it's like, yeah, you don't forget who killed your dad.
Exactly.
You know, so I'm just like, I'll cut her some slack.
Yeah, yeah.
You want to move away from me, I get it.
Yeah, but that was really, honestly, the only time, you know, I thought,
Right, but they're pretty welcoming. And also, it's not as, since you haven't been to these other countries and stuff, when you're, nobody's approaching, you're trying to sell things or get you into their store or call you out and like, hey, where are you from? And hustle you.
Yeah.
Which is what I get. In
all
every
the time, everywhere
Dubai, in Asia, especially.
Everywhere.
I mean, India is brutal.
Oh, yeah.
Just walking anywhere in Africa, same thing. And so, I mean, they see you coming, and they get their hustle ready. Yeah. They gather up whatever they're trying to sell you, or offer you, you know, nefarious things. If I'm by myself, I'm always offered either drugs or women, or both, or boys, depending on the country, or whatever you want. Smoke, toke, you want, you know, coke.
But that market area that we went into, I even asked you, I said, do you have to haggle here? I mean, do they expect you to haggle?
No, not in Japan.
Like, no. I'm like, oh, thank God. I'm a horrible haggler. But
yeah. Where those other places, you're expected to.
Yes.
You know, I mean, you were in Dubai. If you go to a market, I mean, that's a different...
But
if you go to the local markets,
I had a local with me because he just beat that guy down, you know, and he had no spirit when he was done with me.
They think you're insane if you pay what's on the sticker.
Yeah. I mean,
they
don't. It got so exhausting. Yeah, and there
I can't
a couple
deal
times
with it.
I went and I'm like, I just want this bag. I'm like, oh, I'll give it to you. You know, I'm like, oh, you know, and then I walk away thinking I'm getting a deal, and they're thinking, oh, I just screwed her. You know, so it's just like you just never you don't know what the best practices. So I don't know. Yeah, it was like oh, I get to go into this like quaint little market and I don't have to it's like the price is the price. I don't have to haggle. This is great.
Do you think 10 days was about right, or
I could have kept going, okay. You know, but like we packed a lot in 10 days, you know, so I probably could have stayed for another week, you know, just to see a little bit more of the countryside, you know, just to kind of, but like, yeah, we can always go back, you know.
We saw Mount Fuji from the train.
We did. Yeah.
We didn't see it in Hakone, which is one of the reasons people go there, because apparently it has a beautiful view of Mount Fuji, but no, clouds came. And they say you got maybe a 50-50 shot anyway of ever seeing it from... Yeah, I mean, it's often clouded over, you know, so you take your chances, but still, it was nice.
It was very
nice. So be honest, how am I as a travel partner?
Oh, you are wonderful. Seriously.
She's
no, I'm
winking
not just, I'm
right
not
now.
Just, no, not. I'm you.
She's
I'm not
doing the jerk-off motion with her hand while saying that.
But I'm not. So, no, look, you had this trip planned. I mean, you took such good care of me on this trip. And you knew what you wanted to do and where you wanted to do it. And you did your research. And you had things booked. And you had the hotels booked. I could not have asked for more. You know, from even like a tour guide or, you know, an agent, you know, I mean, you really stepped up and you took care of us. So, yeah. And you're not too bad to hang out with, you know?
Well, so. Thank you. You're not too bad to hang out with.
Hey, anybody who goes kinder to San Rio, Puroland with me is a keeper. And you were... so patient, and you go in with a crappy attitude, like, oh my god, how long this is gonna take?
I've spent three hours in worse places.
Yeah, okay, you know, so but you were really
great. I was actually fascinated about. I didn't know what to expect, and I didn't know what I thought there'd be more rides, but once I found out it was indoors, it's like you can only fit so much inside. So it kind of reminded me of this back in the 70s. There's big. Well-known failure of a park outside. It was called Old Chicago, outside of Chicago.
Okay.
And it was basically, it was a big mall, but with like the center was a big domed thing with like carnival rides and roller coaster and stuff. And it bombed. And then it was demolished or something. So I always imagine that if that was successful, that's a successful what Old Chicago was going to be. But they couldn't get, you can look it up, the story online. It was really kind of sad. But if the stores had made it, you know, they were hoping, these attractions are going to bring people to the mall and shop. And people didn't shop.
Yeah.
And the big stores didn't come. So it was kind of like Mall of America and stuff like that. Okay. You know how that is? But that lasted.
Yeah.
Which also has little rides in it and stuff like that. And I think this Mall of America is bigger than Puroland.
Oh, I would think so. I've never been, but yeah. Here it's just huge.
But it's cute. Yeah. It's all, and look, I'm into things that people aren't into, so you have indulged, like, you know, going into little record stores and rock places that I take you to.
Yeah.
We went to one little record store, but it was cute.
Oh, yeah. I got some glasses. Some
Which,
really nice
what was
glasses.
It called?
Big Love Records.
Big Love Records, right, in the Harajuku neighborhood.
Yeah.
Right before we found a little local sake place.
Oh, that was good too.
Yeah.
This is why, again, it's like you just like little, you can plan all you want, you know, and do like the touristy stuff and whatever. But it's those just kind of like walking around neighborhoods and just discovering things. Like you had an agenda. You wanted to see the record store because you're a record guy, you know, but.
Yeah, I just kind of like to see the funk. Yeah. I'm not even buying records.
I'm not a vinyl guy.
Just
want to take a look.
Yeah,
you know?
I just like to see
but,
what
But, you know, it's just
they
like
got.
Walking around. Like, we see this stand-up sake bar. And we're like, oh, we need to go in there.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just a neighborhood. And we met people who sort of spoke English, you know. And now I'm friends with, you know, we're following each other on Instagram now.
Oh, okay.
And the girl who owned the bar, she was great, you know.
The Big Love Records?
Actually, the bar. Yeah,
The woman at the sake bar. Yeah. We got two glasses from Big
we
Love
did.
Records.
Yeah, those I felt kind of cool we spent so much time in there and we used the restroom and then I'm like waiting for
Your
you
white
outside.
Guilt came
My
in.
White
like,
guilt
I should
came
buy
in.
Something.
Well, but the...
Got any Hello Kitty theme stuff?
They probably did. But the sign on the outside said the restroom was for customers only. And I thought, oh my gosh, we're jerks. We go in there, we browse around, then we use the restroom. So I went in... And I'm like, what could I buy here? And I was going to buy a t-shirt, but they're all these boxy t-shirts that they like. No. So, you know, the classy thing to do was, you know, buy the little cocktail glasses. And so that's
and
what
nice.
I did.
Yeah, and they're very nice. Oh, speaking of stand-up.
Oh.
I did a show.
You did a stand-up show.
How did I leave that part out of this story,
you
folks?
You killed it.
I did a show, a little 20-minute set at the Tokyo Comedy Bar, which is in Shibuya. It's on the third floor. And that's the thing about... Tokyo. In America, where it's used to, if any kind of businesses or restaurants or retail, they're all going to be on the bottom, on the ground floor, street level. In Tokyo, that bar you're looking for could be on the sixth floor. Mm-hmm. We were looking for a restaurant. I think it was on the eighth or something. Mm-hmm. In some,
yeah, we found that.
You just don't know. Yeah. You don't know. So try to read the signs. And this is where Google Translate comes in helpful again, because a lot of the signs might be all in Japanese, yeah, even though they might put some English in some of them. So this is on the third floor. And if you're in Shibuya and dying to see an English or Japanese comedy show, go to the Tokyo Comedy Bar. The nice guy's running it. Been open a couple years.
Yeah, he's from like Des Moines or something.
Yeah, one guy was from Des Moines. Yeah. There's another local guy there. And they just put on a nice show.
Yeah.
And so there was mostly expats.
Yeah.
They did an English show at 7:30. And then at like 9, 9:30, they had a Japanese show. Mm-hmm. So they can do both there. And I hope they make it. But they were nice to me.
Yeah.
I got a beer out of it.
Yep.
And I'll be writing off the flight.
There you go.
There you go. Because I did some business.
I got to
take that, IRS. So where do you want to go next?
Oh.
I'm not saying I can take you, but I just want to know.
Well, if I'm going, you're going.
Where your dream destinations?
Oh, my God. Well, my friend is going to Hawaii, and that makes me want to go to Hawaii again. But we've been there, you know. But I love Kauai. That's just a nice little weekend getaway where we're not doing
a weekend.
Anything.
Look at you.
Well, long weekend. You can do a long weekend. It's close enough where you can do like a long weekend, you know. Mm. But like, I don't know, going to like another country. You know, I wouldn't mind, you know, seeing more of Asia. You know, now I need to go to China and see the panda bears. You know, we've been out that far. I can go a little bit further and go see some pandas.
The good news is the deeper you go into Asia, well, certainly Thailand and India, easy being vegetarian.
Yes, very.
So there are a lot of vegetarians there.
Yeah. So India is not so much on, you know, it's a little lower down on my list just because of the people factor. You
well,
know,
it's hard.
Like, it's very hard.
India's hard.
Yeah.
You got to get your little belt. You got to get your feet wet and more things.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, and then possibly Iceland.
Iceland. That is definitely on the bucket list.
Yeah.
And that is a real possibility. It's another one of those places where, you know, it's on the list someday, but it might actually become a reality this year.
For anybody taking cruises, I will be performing on the Caribbean Princess. And I believe one other princess ship over there. But I believe the Reykjavik one, the Iceland one, is the Caribbean Princess. Mm-hmm. And that's like the third week of August, which is peak tourist season there. But hopefully we could try to go like a few days early. And the problem there is flights.
Yeah.
And once you get everything I've heard about it, it's expensive.
So expensive.
It's
yeah.
very expensive.
But how, like, look, we live in LA. How bad can it be?
It can be worse.
Can it?
It can be worse in some places around the world.
Okay.
I mean, they're an island. They got you coming or going.
That's
so
true.
It's, and again, we're going in the high season. So that's the fear I got. And flights have been looking tough.
Yeah.
But still, if you want to go bad enough, make it happen. Going out around here would be just as expensive.
Sure.
So, worth it.
Yeah.
I think. We cover everything? I think we got everything.
I think we covered a lot. You know, there's always going to be something, but I mean, those were some really great highlights that we did. It was a wonderful trip.
What do you tell people who are on the fence about maybe they're thinking of going and then you're like, oh, no, should I?
Or, no brainer.
Or if they're afraid or something.
Gotta go now. Yeah. Well, first of all, it's traveling, you know, cross border is like, it's demystified. It's not as hard as what you think it might be. You know, obviously you need your passport.
Yeah.
Some people, you know, or some countries, I should say, you know, require a visa, you know, as we learned in Australia, right?
Yeah.
you know, in advance. Yeah. But, you know, traveling to Japan is, you don't need one. You don't need one of those. You just need to show up with your passport. And yeah, I mean, it's so much easier than what you think it is.
Yeah. And a lot of people are scared off by the language. And the one advantage we have speaking English is everything is in Japanese.
And English.
And English.
Yeah.
Not German, yeah. Not Spanish, English. And so they give the train announcements in Japanese and in English.
Yeah.
So it's an incredible advantage. They learn it in school. And what you can't do, use Google. Google Translate.
Oh yeah,
I mean,
because it takes a picture, and you know, you can read like real time, like what the sign says. If you don't have English anywhere, paying for things is easy. Getting around is easy. It's a lot easier than what you think.
It's first world. You're not on a rickety bus in Laos. You know what I mean? Right. This is like, you know, their transportation system is better than ours. It's a safer place. Mm-hmm. So if you want to get started in Asia, this is a good starter.
I felt so safe there.
Yeah. So I recommend it. I assume you recommend it.
I highly recommend
it. Yes. So if you're thinking about it, go. Just try to get a flight deal and, you know, use those hotel points if you could do it. Mm. But yeah, it's a good season for Japan. Yeah. And again, while it's still open and stable over there and around the world. Well, the world is never stable, but go now.
Yeah.
Is what I'm saying. But thanks for doing this. And I'm not, you know, just dragging you in here because I was tired of my own voice, which was part of it. But I'm glad you could do it. It made me feel good that you liked it.
I loved it.
You know, I was worried. I don't know how, if you'd like it.
Oh, come on.
Well, I knew you'd like it, but you know, I worry more about your comfort than mine.
I was fine.
Okay.
Walking around 20,000 steps a day, eating my egg sandwiches. So it was, it was wonderful.
Now you can plug your business. So where can people find you on Instagram and everywhere else?
Piper Moretti. I am the only one out there that I know of. Everybody else seems
there's
to
a lot
be,
of fake accounts.
There's
out
a
there.
Lot of fake accounts. It's insane. But yeah, I'm at Piper Moretti. I'm at the Crypto Realty Group, real estate broker that does crypto and real estate. So, but
lovely.
You know, sometimes together, sometimes not. So yeah.
So you're Piper Moretti on Instagram?
Yep, on Insta. Mm-hmm.
Okay, mm-hmm. I couldn't remember if it was your company name or something else.
No, I've got two accounts.
Not one. Real Piper Moretti.
The official.
You have a blue check mark.
I do. I had to do that because I have so many fake accounts because of the whole crypto thing. Yeah. So, and I'll never DM you if you're crypto or about crypto. So it's insane. Like, But yeah, it's the real me.
It's another trip we've taken to crypto conferences.
Oh, yeah.
In Miami.
Yeah.
That's a different podcast.
Oh, totally different. Yeah. It's in Nashville this year.
Oh. Okay.
Now you're really excited.
Are you going?
I don't think so.
Okay.
It's in June. I don't think so.
Nothing against Nashville, but I've just been there a lot. Yeah. So I don't really need
And see, it's another place I've never been.
Really?
Yeah.
Nashville's fun.
Yeah.
It's fun for me.
I can see myself getting tired of it.
Again, don't
days.
Go in the summer.
Yeah. No.
Hot. Yeah. Hot stuff. Thank you.
Thank you.
And on to the next trip.
Yeah.
Let's pray for Iceland.
Yeah.
Let's try to do it.
Yep.
Okay. Piper Moretti, everyone.
Thank you.